We're in Proverbs chapter 13 again tonight, Proverbs 13. Continuing with the series here this evening, Wisdom from Above. And, you know, if you're like me, I want the victorious Christian life. And I want that abundant life that the Lord promised. And there's a way to it. There really is. It's not difficult. All we have to do is do what he says. There it is. Now, of course, saying that's a lot easier. But it's there for us. Take what he says. Ignore what the world says. And there it is. He blesses us and uses us for his glory. And so in Proverbs chapter 13, and you may think as I preach this message that this would have been a good message when the young people were here. Of course, they're away to camp this week, but I think it's something that we all need, no doubt. Proverbs chapter 13, one verse tonight. We're going to look at verse 20. I've been working my way through this, and just so you know, the way I've been doing is I just read through it again and again, and the truths that I've preached on already, I just bypass those. When I see something we haven't hit yet, I just park it right there. And so we're kind of working our way through Proverbs here. And we're in verse 20 of chapter 13. And notice the Bible says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed." That's easy, isn't it? Let's read it together when I say begin. Ready? Begin. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Interesting. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, where would we be without your word? We're grateful, Lord. I'm grateful that somebody came to me one day and confronted me about my soul and asked me about Jesus Christ and told me about Jesus Christ. And I repented of my sin and trusted Christ as Savior. I'm grateful for that. And Lord, I trust everyone in this room has a similar story to tell. But Lord, I'm also grateful for your word that guides and directs us all. And so I pray tonight as we look at this truth that is sometimes neglected by the youth and even many times by older folks. I pray that we would receive it, that we would live it, that we would understand it, that we might have that victorious Christian life that you want us to have. Please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit as I preach your word. Lead and direct, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. John Newton was the author of Amazing Grace. I'm sure most of you know his story. He was born in London in 1725. His father's name was John. His mother's name was Elizabeth Newton. As a young boy, John Newton's mother read to him the Bible all the time and prayed. She actually prayed that he would become a preacher.
Amen.
And his father was a Navy ship's captain. He was lost and he was an ungodly man. When Newton was 7 years old, his mother died of tuberculosis, thus ending his spiritual training. And from age 11 to 17, Newton would go on to accompany his father on his sea voyages. When Newton was still a teenager, his father retired from the sea and made arrangements for him. He had this plan for Newton to go to Jamaica. He would set him up in a lucrative business opportunity as a slave plantation overseer. What a dad, huh? I remember when I was young, my dad took me down. My dad used to like gambling, not big-time gambling, small-time gambling. But he used to like to go to the racetrack, and he taught me as probably an 8-year-old boy. I could read the racing form, and I remember I was kind of short at the time, and he brought me down one time, and he showed me around to these people, and he said, "Hey, could he be a jockey? I'd like him to become a jockey." And the guy looked at my feet. He said, "That guy's not going to be a jockey. He's going to be 6 feet tall. Look at them feet on that boy." And so I kind of got that vision of this, how he's setting up his son to be involved with the slave plantation overseer. Well, John had other ideas. He didn't like that. Why so? Not because he didn't like the idea of being a slave plantation overseer. John had fallen in love with a girl by the name of Mary Catlett and purposefully missed the ship to evade his father's plans. His father sent him back to sea to work as a sailor, and then at 19, his father forced him to enlist in the British Royal Navy, where he was assigned to a warship named Harwich. Now, while he was on that Navy ship, Newton rebelled against everything. He rebelled against all attempts to discipline him. He didn't like the service and that sort of thing. He later described himself this way. He said, "I was arrogant, rebellious, and living a recklessly sinful life. I sinned with a high hand, and I made it my study to tempt and seduce others to do the same." That's evil. But that he did. While he was on that ship, Harwich, Newton found a young man that came from a good home that knew nothing of the sinful lifestyle that Newton was living. And Newton did everything in his power to try to corrupt this young man. And that young man fell for it, if you will, and he became just like Newton, the two of them living lives of debauchery. And after a time together, the two went their separate ways. But something happened to John Newton, as you know, later that did not happen to that young man. John Newton got saved. Much more to his story, but he got saved. He came to know Christ as Savior. And years later, after John Newton had become a pastor, guess who he ran into one day? That man, that young man that was on that ship, Harwich, the man that was on the ship that he seduced to do wrong, if you will. And he started to talk to him about Christ. He started to tell him the gospel and witness to him how he needed to be saved. Now this full-grown man. And the man looked at Newton in the eyes, and in essence, this is what he said. He said, "You were the first to teach me how to live this lifestyle, and now you're telling me to give it up? Forget about it." And he didn't. And despite every effort of John Newton to try to convince this friend otherwise, this man refused Jesus Christ, went on to live that lifestyle, and soon after that meeting, he died from what was called a malignant fever that was caused by his sinful lifestyle, lost and without Christ. Sad, isn't it?
Amen.
Imagine how Newton felt. You know, for some time we've been dealing with this subject, wisdom from above, James chapter 3. And that's kind of where the idea of this series came from. And the idea is that this, as believers, you and I have a choice to make. The first and greatest choice we've made was to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Praise the Lord for that. It was a time that I hope that you recognized you were a sinner on your way to hell and that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead, and you repented of your sin and trusted Him as Savior. I trust you know Him tonight as Savior. If not, take care of it tonight.
Amen.
But here, as a believer, again, that's the beginning of the Christian life, and we have a choice to make. We are to either live by the wisdom of this world,
right,
or we are to live by the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Now, the wisdom of this world is rooted in the ever-changing ideas of men. And may I repeat that? Ever-changing.
Amen.
They always are.
Right.
Rooted in the philosophies of the unregenerate. And they are said, according to James 3, won't go there for time's sake, but the wisdom of this world is said to be earthly and sensual and devilish.
Right.
God calls it foolishness.
Amen.
Because of what it is and what it produces. It produces confusion. It produces destruction, if you will.
Amen.
Then on the other side of the coin, there's that wisdom from above. That is rooted in the unchanging truths of God's Word, our Creator, truths that are proven, truths that are foolproof, truths that produce peace and joy and that abundant life that I've mentioned a couple times already. But understand something, the choice is ours which one we are going to live. But it should be very easy to choose. But often it's not. Now, while the Bible, entire Bible, we could say, is God's wisdom,
Amen.
Really the book of Proverbs is specifically given to us for wisdom. As a matter of fact, many refer to the book of Proverbs as the book of wisdom. We know what it is. It is a father, Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, giving to his son words of wisdom. May I say this too? It's our Heavenly Father Amen. Giving to His sons, a small s, His wisdom as well. There it is. Wisdom from our Father. And notice here in our text, we find another golden nugget of wisdom from God. He tells us very simply in verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, Amen. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Right. Amen.
That should be a no-brainer. Right. I walk with wise men, I'm wise. If I'm a companion of fools, I will be destroyed. And so tonight I want to park on that verse for a little while and preach on this subject, as you see on your handout this evening. Wisdom from above, the wisdom of choosing godly associations. We could say godly friends.
Right.
Tonight we're going to look at why it is so important for us to choose wisely who we associate with.
Amen.
Who we are friends with. Because who we choose will determine a lot, if you will,
right.
what we are, what we become.
That's right. Amen.
So we need wisdom from above.
Amen.
So let's look at that this evening. Number one, would you write this down? The principle God gives. Here's the principle. There it is. He lays it right down, this principle. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, understand something. Relationships are a part of life. Certainly our relationship with God, but also our relationship with people. Understand, we're to reach people with the gospel, right? We're to talk to people. We're to tell them how to be saved. We're to disciple them, teach them, encourage them to be baptized and join a local New Testament church and serve through that church. We get all that. Well, that means we have to work and deal with people.
Right.
And going through this journey of life, relationships are a part of it. Now, I believe as Christians, we should be kind to everyone.
Amen.
I believe as Christians, we should be friendly to everyone. I believe we should be cordial to everyone. We should strive to live peaceably with everyone. For that's what the Bible says.
Right.
Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Amen.
So again, we're to be kind and friendly and cordial and live peaceably with everyone. But understand something. God does not require us to have close relationships with everyone. Some people don't get that. What do you mean? No, it's true. He doesn't require us. As a matter of fact, if you read your Bible closely, you'll find that there are some people that God commands us to avoid.
Right.
There are some people that God commands us to stay away from, even those that profess salvation. Very important. Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned and avoid them.
Right.
Preacher, I'm supposed to avoid some people? Yes. Yes, we are. 1 Corinthians 5, 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat.
Amen.
So notice, even if he's called it, calls himself a brother, if he's engaging in fornication or he's covetous or an idolater or a railer, drunkard, and so forth, he says, don't even eat with them.
Amen.
Stay away. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. So there it is. Now, here in our text, the Lord is telling us that we need to be very careful. Notice the phrase and the words that are used. Be very careful of who we walk with. Again, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Notice, but a companion. So who we are companions of. So we have to be careful of that.
Amen.
Who our companions are, who we are walking with. It's interesting that phrase walk with is from a Hebrew word, halak, which means this. It means to walk continually with. That's what it means. It means to journey with. It's not just an occasional pass by or that sort of thing. It is a kind of a continual thing. You are walking through life right along with them by your side. That's what he's talking about. I looked up that word companions, and it's the Hebrew word reha, and it means this. I thought this was funny. It means to graze with. Who are you grazing with tonight? Amen. It means to keep company with or to make a friendship with. Adam Clark says this. He says this phrase implies that there is some sort of attachment. So we're talking about walking with someone or being a companion of someone. It means that you are continually with them or an extended period of time. You're keeping company with them. You have made a friendship with them. By the way, there is a difference, and I always tried to explain this to my kids when we were raising them, that there is a difference between being friendly with someone and being friends with someone.
Right.
We should be friendly with everyone, right, but we don't have to be friends, and we shouldn't be friends with some
Amen.
People. So notice, God gives us a very, very simple principle. No brainer, if you will. The person that walks with wise men, he shall be wise.
Amen.
There it is. And the person that walks with a companion of fools, notice, shall be destroyed. Why is that? Because there is a Bible principle that is being dealt with here in this verse. And the Bible principle is a principle of, write the word down, influence. Influence. Do you know that all of us, every one of us, are both influencing and being influenced every single day? By the people that we spend time with, by the people that we hang around. Every one of us, we are being influenced. They are either influencing us for good and vice versa, or they are influencing us for bad. They are. You say, no, preacher, I'm a mature Christian, not me. I can handle things. I can be around anybody, and they don't influence me. They don't affect me. Hogwash.
Right.
They do. And to deny that truth is to deny the Bible. You think, well, not me, preacher. No, I'm good. I can hang around with people and they won't. You're denying the word of God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived.
Amen.
Evil communications, companions, if you will, corrupt good manners. It's interesting he said, be not deceived. You know why he said that? Because we often are. Because we think, oh, no, not me. No, be not deceived. Now, that was written to the church at Corinth. Now, there was a lot going on there. But what wasn't this the problem in the church at Corinth? Wasn't there somebody in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that was in the church committing sin and it was not being addressed? Matter of fact, they were glorying in it like it was no big deal, as if that could go on. And, hey, that wouldn't affect us after all. That's just a small part of the congregation. That's just one person. There's a whole bunch of us. And didn't Paul pen these words to them in 1 Corinthians 5:6? Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?
Amen.
That's what it does.
Right.
It affects the whole lump. Now, those of you ladies that bake and do, you know, cooking or whatever, and you use leaven for bread and that sort of thing, you only need a little bit. My understanding, those little packs are small. But it takes care of the whole thing, doesn't it? It affects everything. That is the power of influence. And again, I say, you are and I am being influenced every day by the people that we hang around with.
Right.
By our associations. May I say this? These associations in the day that we live could take many forms. For example, it could be a personal association. That's the usual old-fashioned way. Well, you have a friend that's really a friend. I mean, not somebody who's a friend online, but I'm talking about a close friend. It could be I'm talking about a human being here, somebody you may work with or that sort of thing. It could be today an online association that you have that's influencing you. That can happen as well. We could be reading somebody's books and they're influencing us. We could be reading their blogs and they're influencing us. We could be listening to their sermons and they're influencing us. We could be watching their YouTube videos and they're influencing us. We could be following them or friending them, whatever the case may be, on whatever, Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. There's all kinds of ways that we can have these associations, but understand, whatever the means is, we are being influenced by them. We are.
Amen.
One person put it this way. It's not a question of whether or not we will be influenced, but how
Amen.
We will be influenced. That's the question.
Amen.
Not whether, well, no, that, no, you will.
Right.
But is it going to be positive or negative?
Right.
You see, that's why the people that you and I choose to be around, to associate with, to befriend, to be companions of, to walk with, if you use the words of the scripture or the text tonight, are critically important.
Amen.
We must be discerning because we will inevitably end up like them.
Right.
We will. We will start acting like them. We'll start talking like them. We'll start being like them. We'll even start thinking the way they think. We will become like them. That's a Bible truth.
Amen.
That's the principle tonight. So again, we have to look at those that we have those relationships with and ask ourselves, okay, is this person that I am watching or hanging with or whatever the case may be, are they a positive influence in my life or are they a negative influence in my life? Are they influencing me to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ when I'm around them? Am I more like the Lord or when I'm around them, am I less like the Lord?
Amen.
I like what Adam Clark said here as well. He said, show me his company and I'll tell you the man.
Amen.
He said, let me know the company he keeps and I shall easily guess his moral character. See, if you want to know what somebody's like, look who they're hanging out with.
Right. Amen.
Because that'll tell you what they're really like. Look who their companions are. Look who they are walking with. Pastor Larry Brown used to say this. I remember in his sermon I heard quite often. Ammon had a friend. He said, you are or you soon will be who your friends are. Would you stop for a moment and take a close look at your friends?
Amen.
Take a close look at those you hang out with, companions with, walk with.
Amen.
And ask yourself, do I want to be like that? Because if you hang out long enough, you will be. One author wrote this. Says, your closest associations, your reference group, can determine much of your success in life. That's true. Another wrote this. We are the average of five people we associate with the most. Now, our friends influence us, yes, subtly, but also powerfully. And again, it could be positive or negative. Now, I want you to turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, because let me give you a little Bible example of somebody who was influenced by other people. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. This is, of course, one of the Bible characters here. Let me see if I can get it here. I didn't mark it in my Bible, so I got to flip there. And chapter 24 is a king by the name of Joash. Now, Joash was Judah's seventh king. And we read, southern kingdom, of course. Notice what we read in verse 1 and 2. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. We're in 2 Chronicles 24, 1. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. Now watch the phraseology here. And Josiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. So Jehoiada was a great influence on him. Jehoiada was a godly man.
Amen.
Jehoiada had part in actually protecting him and bringing him to the throne, and he greatly influenced his life. And you see, as long as Jehoiada was there, Joash did the right things. And we read on of the many reforms that took place. The house of God was repaired, and all kinds of good things were going on. But then notice, if you would, in chapter 24, down to about verse 17. Notice we read, "Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them." So he was hearkening unto Jehoiada, but Jehoiada was dead. And now here comes these princes and, "Oh, king," and they started getting his ear and influencing him for wrong. And notice what we read in verse 18, "And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass."
Amen.
So here Jehoiada is gone. Now they're influencing him. There's a perfect example of what our company does to us.
Right.
Good on one hand or bad on the other.
Amen.
I understand we all have a free will. I get that. And we're not forced to do anything. We all choose and we're responsible for our choices. But the Bible is very clear that people have a great influence on other people. That's a principle from God's word. So we see, number one, the principle God gives. Can I challenge you before I move forward here and ask you, who are your companions and what are they like?
Amen.
Why aren't they here tonight? Maybe they are. If they are, that's a good thing.
Right.
So we see the principle God gives. Number two, would you write this down? The proving of wise men. We could say the parsing, if you want to get fancy there. But let's go back here and say this. God says, now let's take this here down a logical path. God says that if I walk with wise men, I will be wise. I like that. And if I am a companion of fools, that I will be destroyed. Okay, that's very important. So, I walk with wise men, I'll be wise. If I become a companion of fools, or may I put it this way, walk with fools, I will be destroyed. So that means this, I need to find wise men. You need to find wise men. And so, find, not just find them, and walk with them.
Right.
Make them your companions. Make them your close friends. Make them your role models. Make them the ones you want to hang around.
Right.
So the question is this. How do I recognize them?
Good.
How do I know? What am I looking for? If I'm looking for a wise man to be my companion. By the way, we all need good companions.
Amen.
Preachers need good companions.
Right.
And it's important. So I think, what do they look like? I think, and I'm going to give you four ways here, or four things that will help us identify who's a wise man. Man, this is not comprehensive. It's not exhaustive, obviously, just a few of them. But here are some things I think, if you want to find out, who should I hang out with? Here's a short list. Look at number one, or letter A. Look at their activities for God.
Amen.
Looking for a wise man? Look at their activities for God. Psalm 111 and verse 10 says this, "The fear of the Lord," watch this, "is the beginning of wisdom."
Amen.
So if I'm looking for a wise person that I can walk with and become a companion with, that means that person needs to fear God.
Amen.
Not just, and by the way, not just what they say, "Oh, I fear God." I mean, truly fear God. How can you tell? Look at their activities.
Amen.
For God. Are they saved? There's a good start right there. Do they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Do they have a clear testimony of salvation?
Amen.
Do they have the right doctrine? Do they believe the Bible? Do they believe what, you know, the Baptist distinctives? That's what we believe around here. We believe it because we believe that it is biblical. Are they faithful to church? Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings. Are they here? Not are they hit or miss. Are they faithful? You're looking for a wise man? Amen. He should be in church every time the doors are open. Amen. That's the kind of influence I want.
That's good. Amen.
Are they faithfully serving in a ministry?
Amen.
At the church? Do they witness for the Lord?
Amen.
Do they hand out tracts? Do they like preaching? Do they sing the hymns when it's time to sing? Are they happy in the Lord?
Amen.
Matthew 7:24 says this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Notice he's not just hearing I should be faithful to church. He's not just hearing I should tithe. He's not just hearing I should read my Bible and pray and serve in the ministry. He's actually doing it. He's living out the Christian life.
Amen.
That's a good test to find a wise man to be a companion with. Look at their activities for God. Because if they're not doing those things, they're not good companions.
Right.
Find somebody else that
Amen.
Is. So number one, their activities for God. Then number two, here's another way to identify them. Look at their actions outside of the church.
Amen.
Not in the church.
Right.
Although that's part of it. Outside the church. Matthew 7:20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them."
Amen.
How do they act outside of this building? Oh, it's easy to praise the Lord inside the building.
Right.
Amen. I love God. He's my Lord. What about out there?
Good. Amen.
I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way. In the real life, in real life. When we, not that this isn't real. You know what I mean by that. Where the rubber meets the road, if you don't mind me saying that. Where the mission field begins. This is where we get charged up, by the way, to go out and live for God. And so what are they doing? Their actions outside of the church. How do they act? How do they act at work?
Amen.
What do they say to their work buddies? What's going on at break? What kind of jokes are they laughing at? Those off-color jokes that are being told in the break room. Are they laughing at that? Young person, what do they act like when they're away from their parents? When they're not around? How are they acting there? How are they acting when no other Christians are around? What music are they listening to in their car? What is it? What's coming out of there? Here's one for you. I'm going to get in trouble on this one. I don't care. What does their ringtone sound like?
Amen.
I've been embarrassed by a lot of Christians' ringtones. I mean, I'm standing next to them, and all of a sudden this CCM song starts blaring out as a ringtone. And I'm thinking, that's embarrassing.
Right.
I thought we believed certain things around here
Amen.
About music.
Right.
But I guess you really don't. How are you acting out there? What are the places that they're going to? How are they dressing when they go there? How are they dressing anywhere? How about this? I don't look at it. Glad I don't. What does their Facebook page look like? What pictures are they posting on Instagram? What's their little TikToks? You know, what are they doing on that? I don't even know what that is. Just some sort of... I know I don't like it, though.
Amen.
Just because it's the world. Amen.
So
what are their actions like? What are their words like? How do they speak outside the church? When something goes wrong, you know? Are they honest with their business dealings with people?
Amen.
How do you act at a restaurant when you get bad service? Or when you're waiting in a long line and it's taking forever? How are you responding to that? See what I'm saying? I'm saying you want to walk with someone that's wise, be a companion of that, and you want to find somebody that's wise, then look at how they are acting outside of the church.
Amen.
You see, if their life, and by the way, I'm sure all of us mess up. I'm not saying that. But if our lives are totally different out there than they are in here, I don't want that person as a companion.
Amen.
I don't. I really don't. What's your DVD little rack look like? What you got up there, huh? What kind of movies are there? R?
Amen.
PG-13, what's wrong with that? Yeah, that's the problem right there. Amen. Right there's the problem.
Right.
See, you want to find a wise person? Look at their actions outside of the church.
Right.
I'm having fun tonight. Are you having
Praise
fun?
The Lord.
Then there's a third thing, letter C. So again, we're looking for wise men. Look at their activities for God. Look at their actions outside of the church. Here it is, letter C. We're going to have more fun here. Watch their account of others. You say, what do you mean by that? How they talk about others. Listen to it. Ephesians 4:29 says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God's saying here, if you're going to say something, say that which edifies somebody.
Amen.
If it doesn't edify, then don't say it. Thumper theology, right? That's what that was. Thumper, right? Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, you learn a lot about people by their speech.
Amen.
And how they talk about other people. Are they constantly critical of people? Chopping people up? Are they critical of the church? Critical of other church members? Critical of the preacher? That's not a good companion.
Right.
It's not. If they're negative, complaining, murmuring about everything, that's not a good companion. Gossiping about people, bearing tales, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about this? Yeah, you hang around that long enough, you're going to be doing the same. We've all been guilty of it, where we're in somebody's presence that's like that, and before you know it, we're starting to chime in. We say, what in the world am I doing here? I got to get out of here. This is not right.
Amen.
You know why? Because that's the power of influence.
Right. Amen.
Be careful. I like what Paul said in Philippians 1:3 about the church of Philippi. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Well, isn't this person a blessing?
Amen.
Well, wasn't that special a blessing? Well, I'm so glad somebody gets up here and sings.
Right.
Because if we didn't have anybody sing, we wouldn't have anybody doing specials. And boy, they're just putting their heart into it. They may not be the perfect thing, but boy, I'll tell you, they just do a nice job. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for people that run the sound. I'm grateful for people that take the offering and usher. I'm grateful for people that work in the nursery.
Amen.
That's a good way to be.
Right.
Not, well, do you hear about this? Did you see that? That's not a good companion.
Amen.
Stay away from somebody like that. You see, you don't want someone as a companion who always talks about other people. By the way, it's the same with preachers. You know, the guys that I commend preaching, they're great guys. They really are.
Amen.
Because those are guys I want as my companions.
Right.
Because they're good guys. I'm going to say more about that. Then there's a fourth thing. Not only do you test their activities for God, their actions outside the church, their account of others, and then fourthly, their attitude towards authority. Hebrews 13:17, obey them which have that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You want to test if someone's a good companion? Listen to what they say about authority.
Right.
God places authority in everybody's life.
Right.
And we're supposed to respect the authority. Right. We're supposed to honor the king, even our king. But what do they say? Young person, what is that friend of yours? How does he talk about his parents? How does he talk about the Christian school teachers? How so? How does your friend talk about his boss at work? I always laugh at what we hear in workplaces today. People don't want to work today.
Right.
They don't. And they're just so critical of everything. They want the money, but they don't want to work. And they're so critical of their bosses, so critical of the place, complaining about everything. And I want to say, is this how you were in the job interview? Is this the way you talk? Because you wouldn't have got this job if that's the way it was. That's what I want to say. I don't say that, but that's what I'm thinking. But how does that person, how do they talk about the pastor?
Right. Amen.
How does the wife talk about her husband? Talking about good companions. You see, if you find somebody that's constantly criticizing and it's against authority, complaining about whatever authority that they have, you don't want them to be a companion.
Right.
You don't want them. Because you will become, or you are becoming, or you already have become what they are. It's only a matter of time.
Amen.
That's a good test, isn't it?
Right.
Ask yourself, what are their activities for God? What are their actions outside the church? What's their account of others?
Amen.
And what's their attitude
Amen.
Toward authority? And by the way, there are people that do well in those. Nobody's perfect, I get that. But there are people that are good in those areas. They really are. We're going to talk about that here, last point here. So we see, number one, the principle God gives. Number two, the proving of wise men. Then number three, the path we must choose. So here we are. Back to the text, and we're down here. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So here we are. We have to choose. We see someone that is a wise person, and we can choose to walk with them, or we can be a companion of someone that's not wise. And they're doing all these things. It's a bad influence on us, and we have to choose. Are we going to continue to hang out with this person, or am I going to change? Am I going to hang out with a wise person?
Right.
It's your choice. You know, Elisha said this. I like this. 2 Kings 2:4. Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.
Amen.
So they came to Jericho. Elijah said to Elisha, he was about to get taken up in a whirlwind in that same chapter. He said, you stay here, I got to go over here. He said, oh, no, I'm hanging with you.
Amen.
You're my companion.
Praise
I'm going with you to the end. Because you're a wise person. You're a godly man. And I want you to influence me. I'm not missing a thing.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I like what Ruth said. You know the famous verse in Ruth 1:16. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God.
Praise the Lord.
As long as the God of the Bible is your God, I'm with you.
Amen.
That's what she chose. So in order to practice wisdom from above, we must practice the following three things. Here they are. You ready for them? Number one is this, or letter A, disassociation.
Right.
There's times where you got to cut ties.
Right.
There are.
Amen.
Parents, with your kids. It's times you got to say, no, you're not hanging out with that person.
Right.
That's a bad influence.
Amen.
They're going to drag you down the wrong path.
Right.
But as adults, we need to do the same thing. I'm talking about being a companion of that person. No, if they are constantly complaining or griping and criticizing authority and talking about people, I don't want to be around that. Again, yes, be friendly and kind to everybody. You should. We always should. But there are certain times I have to say, no, I am disassociating from that.
Amen.
That's one thing. The second one is this. Limited associations. Now, these are people that you should be friendly with. Maybe you have to. It could be, I don't know, a carnal relative or maybe a brother or sister that's away from God and so forth. And so there's times to keep that door open, if you don't mind me putting it that way. There's maybe a family gathering and you have that sort of association. You should be friendly with them, but you have to limit your time around them. And we usually know when it's time to go.
Amen.
You kind of go down and it starts getting a little crazy and we're like, well, look at that. Late already. Time to go. Limited associations. But then letter C, there is expanded associations. So there's times you have to disassociate. There's going to be times where you have to limit that association. But then there's times you're expanding your associations. How is that? When you find someone who is a wise person. When you find someone that's a godly person. When you find someone that's influencing you to live right and do right and live for God and be a godly person. And then you become companions with them.
Amen.
I love to find preachers that love God,
Amen.
That love the Word of God,
Praise the Lord.
That love preaching,
Amen.
that are sincere about the Christian life and strive to live their daily lives for God.
Amen. Praise
I love to be around them.
Right.
I really do. I like to find Christians like that too.
Amen.
That are, I'll put it this way, the real deal.
Amen.
When you find someone that's the real deal, again, none of us are perfect. I get that. We all have flaws. We all mess up. But somebody who's striving to live for God and trying to do the right thing and is just an encouragement to you, and they are the real deal.
Amen.
Be around them as much as you can. Amen. I don't, you know, bother them and be at their door at 7 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about that. But be around them.
Amen.
Walk with them. Walk with that wise man.
Amen.
You know why? Because when you do, you'll be wise.
Amen.
And the companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Amen.
So tonight the challenge is this. Will you practice wisdom from above? Will you choose, and will I choose, good, godly associations and walk with them? And maybe make some hard decisions tonight.
Amen.
To either limit your associations or perhaps even disassociate.
Amen.
Be friendly and kind. But I'm not going to be around that.
Right.
Because I have one life to live.
Amen.
And I got enough pulling me that way already. I need some folks that are going to pull me this way.
Right.
And I want to hang around that.
Amen.
And you do that, you will be
Amen.
Let's pray.